Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. What you find in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Today we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 24 and talking about the topic of fasting. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 24. And that reads like this. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is a passage about fasting. It occurs in our passage here in Matthew chapter 6 about the practices of righteousness. So the listing here are three. We have three practices of righteousness given to us in this passage of Scripture. We started out in verse 1 and 2, following in the first section there, of the practice of righteousness of showing mercy or of giving to the poor, of acts of mercy. That would be one practice of righteousness. Another practice of righteousness that we have in this passage of Scripture is the practice of prayer, praying, connecting with God. And the third act of righteousness that is given here is this practice called fasting. Now, what I want to do today, because I see in this passage a strong connection to discipleship, I see in this passage a strong connection even to our own purpose statement as a church, and I want to tie chapter 6 using the vehicle of fasting into this idea of what our purpose is as a believer. The practices of righteousness are the practices of the disciple. These are the things that every follower of Jesus incorporates into his life. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us three specific kinds of practices. There are others listed in the Scriptures, and when we put our purpose statement together, what we tried to do was to say, what are those broad categories that cover all that we're supposed to be about as individual believers and as a church? And so the statement that we came up with was threefold. We exist to worship with passion, to share Christ's love, and to grow in faith and obedience. And those three categories, we feel, cover just about every possible practice in the Scriptures that are given for us as believers to participate in. We've come up with some catchier titles for you to try and kind of just help you remember these things. So worshiping with passion would represent all of our attempts to reach up to God. That as individuals, we're trying to bridge the gap between heaven and earth. We're trying to connect to Him. He is our sovereign. He's our Lord. We want to worship Him in every way. And it just doesn't include singing on Sunday mornings. This includes the transformation of my life as an act of worship and an act of service to God. Romans 12:1 is a great verse to kind of broaden your idea of what worship means. It incorporates all that we do for the glory of God. And so if every behavior in my life is done to the glory of God, it's an act of worship. It's a song of praise to God. So we reach up to God. We share Christ's love. That's why we exist. Christ came. He demonstrated what it meant to be a human, what it meant to love, and that characteristic of love was most seen in His sacrifice. And so we also want to reach out to other people as Christ did. self-sacrificial service to others. So we reach up to God, we reach out to others. We love God with our whole heart, strength, and mind. We love our neighbors as ourselves. And then the last one is that we as believers want to grow in faith and obedience. And that would be what we're going to call reaching in, changing from the inside out. It's that transformation process that we as individual believers submit ourselves to so that we might reflect the very image of God. And I want you to hold that idea in your head this morning, that we are created in the image of God. So we're going to talk about fasting today. I'm going to try and look at it in those three categories. How does fasting help us to reach up to God? How does fasting help us to reach out to other people? And how does fasting help us to reach in and grow? And it is a practice, probably not practiced very often in the Christian world today, but it is a practice that really uniquely helps us to touch all three of those areas at the same time. And so I want to talk a little bit about fasting and maybe help you get an idea of fasting. For most Christians, fasting is a mystery. And it shouldn't be. It's a very simple thing. Don't make it more complex than it is. But I'll have this question given to me all the time. What is fasting? And fasting is just a very simple thing. It is giving up a meal or a series of meals for the express purpose of devoting myself to connection with God in some way, prayer, the word, or service. And so when I pray and fast, I'm giving up a meal in that activity. So, for instance, you pray all the time. You pray in your cars. Hopefully, you pray on a regular basis in a quiet place at home. You find a spot. You set some time aside. And you say, I pray. I pray every morning, or I pray every evening. I pray before I go to bed. I find a quiet spot outside at night, and I just go out before I go to bed, and I just spend some time with God under the stars, and I carve out that time. So you probably have that. I'm hoping that that's true. Fasting would just be connecting that time with a specific meal. And instead of having lunch, I would spend that time in the Word and in prayer. And it's a fascinating thing, I think, to think about this idea of fasting as a connection with God. So if fasting is reaching up, I want to reach up to God. It would be this idea of cultivating a love and desire for God's word in my heart during this period of time. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to eat. I love to cook. You guys love to eat? If I started naming restaurants off today, it would be cruel because, you know, probably lunch or breakfast is a little, at least 25, 30 minutes away. You run out the door and go get it. But nonetheless, when I think about a good meal, a memorable meal, I think about the different times you've gone to a great restaurant and you've had a great meal. I think about the cooking that my mother did. I think about how much I enjoy eating each and every day multiple times. Right? It's a good thing. I think about eating and that's, there's a desire there for food. There's a desire for good food. There's a desire for a variety of foods. And so this idea of fasting, when he says talks about practicing your fasting, you should immediately remember some of the pictures that have already been painted, starting in the temptation of Jesus and then the Sermon on the Mount itself. Remember we said the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus saying to us that he is the new Moses. He is now the voice of God to us. So when he was tempted by Satan, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And the Sermon on the Mount is introduced by saying that Jesus opened his mouth and said to them. Because everything that comes out of his mouth is the word of God. So I cultivate a love for food in my life. I think about it. I watch the Food Network. I go grocery shopping and we buy something and it says, that's going to be good when we cook it. And I look forward to that meal. And fasting is one of those vehicles by which we begin to cultivate that self-same love for the word of God, which proceeds out of his mouth. And so fasting is that opportunity for us to do so. We're going to lay this part aside, something that we really, really love, and say there's something else that I really, really need to love as well. And that something else is the Word of God. Now you and me and every human that is alive is created by God in His image. And when we talk about the makeup of man, we typically talk about man being two-parted, that he has two separate parts. He has a material part, a body, and he has an immaterial part, a soul. So typically we talk about those two parts. We're made up of body and soul, and both of those parts are important. I would encourage you to eat. I would encourage you to eat regularly. And I would also encourage you to eat in a healthy manner. Today we talk a lot about healthy and unhealthy foods and what we should and shouldn't be eating. And that's a good thing. And I would encourage you to have a good diet. I would encourage that. I think it's a good thing. It comes from God. And the sustenance and nourishment of my body is a godly activity. So when you pray before your meal, it shouldn't simply be thanking God for it. It should also be somewhat retrospective. How am I caring for this body that God has given me? And maybe, should I really be eating this? What is the nature of my integrity with food before God as He's given me this body, a temple in which to glorify Him? It's a holy activity. And so the fasting would be not the connection of thanksgiving and worship and praise with my physical body that I should do, and every meal should somehow connect me back to this idea that God is the one who gave me life, and God is the one who sustains my life. And when you're enjoying your meals, you should always connect it with that idea and with that thought. In all of our celebration, we should always include the truth of where joy and life comes from. And so I'm connecting in my meal with my responsibility towards my body. And when I fast, what I'm saying is I'm going to do the self same thing now with regard to my soul and my spirit. I'm going to now begin to ask this question, am I taking in enough spiritual food? Am I hearing enough the Word of God? Am I loving enough? Is it something that I seek and that I desire? Or is it just simply an obligation? Fasting is something that is supposed to help us cultivate a love for God's Word just as much as we love food that comes from His hand as well. And it's this fullness, this recognition of who I am, created in the image of God, body and soul. And in my relationship to Him, I want to have integrity in both of those realms. And I don't want to ignore the one or the other, but both. And so fasting is that kind of a nexus. It's that connection point between my body and my soul. And I say, Lord, give me a love for Your Word, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of Your mouth. Now, your practice of fasting can be a single meal. It can be a series of meals. I don't think there's really any prescription for it in the Scriptures, how you should or shouldn't do it. But I would just suggest that once, one meal, just take one meal. It could be breakfast, it could be lunch, it could be dinner. And begin to say, I'm going to take that one meal, and instead of eating, I'm going to do some things that will help me cultivate a love for God's Word. I'm going to replace that meal time, which is intended to nourish my body, with a meal time that is intended to nourish my soul. Now, just as you prepare a meal, a physical meal, you should prepare for a spiritual meal or a fast. You shouldn't just kind of, I mean, I just don't sit down at the table and say, food, show up here. Right? I actually go in the fridge, say, what am I going to make? This combination of things would be good. I'm going to make it, and I prepare it, then I sit down, and then I eat it. And so as you think about this fast, let's just say you're going to pick Wednesday morning breakfast. You should begin to think, what am I going to do during that period of time instead of eating? What is my activity going to be? What passage of Scripture will I read? What will I pray about? Who will I pray for? Or maybe what you're going to do is have an activity. I'm going to do some spiritual activity. I'm going to practice mercy. The meal that I don't eat, maybe I'm going to serve someone else. I'm going to find someone else to give my breakfast to, and that will be my fast, that actual activity of giving. So it can take any number of forms, as you'll see here in a minute, but you need to prepare what you're going to do. Don't just sit down and say, and then go, wow, that really wasn't that good. I didn't get anything out of it. It'd be like sitting down at a meal that I didn't prepare or didn't make and waited for it to show up and say, I'm still hungry. Well, duh, right? So think about what it is that you're going to take in. Think about it is about what you're going to do, and then do that. And so, but in the first sense, as we reach up to God, we want to connect with Him. God has made us this way, body and soul, as kind of a picture of, or a go-between between heaven and earth. We stand between heaven and earth as humans. It's this fascinating thing. If you think about being made in the image of God, what is that distinct idea of being made in the image of God? And many people have said what that is that as humans, we are unique in all of creation, is that we have the capacity, the rational and the willful and the valueful capacity to know and engage with God. Part of that comes from language. We can talk about God. He's an abstract being. Dogs don't understand God. They can't have a theological conversation with you, but they're alive. So what's the difference between a dog and a human? And so this is one of those things. And I think this is a fascinating idea, is that humans are the go-between between heaven and earth. And so we connect heaven and earth. Fascinatingly enough, that was the temple's role in the Old Testament. It was seen as a connection between heaven and earth. That when I went to the temple, that was where God dwelt. That's where heaven and earth met. And so in a real sense, heaven and earth meet where you are. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I become that presence of God to bless everything that's around me. So how are animals blessed by God? Well, some animals in the wild are just blessed because, but let's say your dog, how is it blessed by God? It's blessed because you love it. You're the connection between God and your animals. He doesn't have a direct connect. And the same is true of the earth. And so humans are this connection between heaven and earth. And fasting is that practice that acknowledges both of those things. So it connects us to God. We reach up to God in our fasting. Secondly, we reach out to God, to others in our fasting. We want to cultivate in this process of fasting love and mercy for other people. And I want you to look at verses 19 through 21 as we talk about this. Jesus says multiple times in this passage of Scripture, don't practice these things in front of men. If you do, your reward is full. You've got everything you're going to get out of it. So practice these things in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He will reward you. Immediately after this, after he finishes these three statements, these three, mercy, prayer, fasting, do it all in secret. He says it about every one of them. He talks about treasure. Now, don't make this mistake of thinking that these passages are not connected. Reward and then treasure. He's just moving right into a new topic. Now, I don't know how we got these sermons. You know, you can go online and watch the sermons from Olive Grove Church or listen to them. You know, we record them. So there can't, you know, if I say something and then I deny it later, you can go check it. Or you can actually transcribe it. But I don't know who was sitting in the audience on the Sermon on the Mount writing down the words of Jesus. I mean, was there somebody over there with a, you know, pen writing it down and doing it? And you know, if you read this, if you just read it from 5 to 7, it's about a 5-minute sermon. I think Jesus spoke a little bit longer than that. I think maybe we just have the highlights here, summary statements. They're awesome, but it's like, you know, sometimes you listen to a sermon and you go, I got to write that down, and you find a pen and you write that one thing down. And so maybe this is what people did. I don't know. And I'm just, I'm guessing about the whole thing, and I wouldn't fight to the death for this at all. But just speculating, right? But what you have to see is this connection. You have your reward in full. Don't store up treasure on earth. He's talking about the same kind of reward. So here's the question you want to ask about this passage, about treasure in heaven and treasure on earth. Treasure on earth is an easy one, right? It's the stuff. It's money and cars and homes and possessions and stuff. That's kind of an easy thing. But what is treasure in heaven? What is the capital of heaven? Do you know what it is? It's humans. It's people. It's the capital of heaven is the image of God reproduced in people. It's fascinating because we put images of people on coins, right? Jesus uses this illustration. And the image of God has been placed on us. So just as coins are valuable to earth and the world, humans, those things that have the stamp of God on them, are the capital of heaven. So when Jesus says store up treasure in heaven, what's he talking about? How do you do that? You know how you do that? If the first aspect or focal point of fasting is loving God with all of my heart, soul, and strength and cultivating a love for his word, a passion for him, so that I worship in my life with passion, then the capital of heaven, the thing that I'm investing in here is love your neighbor as yourself. And then could the word of God be reproduced in them? Because the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is the difference between someone pursuing the image of God and someone not pursuing the image of God. The image of God is the focal point of our salvation. Not going to heaven, by the way, but being a reflection of the image of God. That is the focal point of our salvation. We are saved for that purpose, that we become recreated in the image of God. So when Paul talks to the people in Thessalonica and he writes a letter to the people in Philippi, one of the things that he says to them is that you are my crown and joy. That's another way of saying you're my treasure. And I'm investing in you because you're the treasure that's laid up in heaven. And so fasting for me is cultivating a love and a mercy, because that's a treasure. There is nothing better than to be able to die and say, I led people to Christ. I showed people who God is. Because I lived, others were drawn closer to God. You can take that with you to heaven. Right? You know that phrase, you can't take it with you? You can take that with you. Because this is the purpose of our lives. This is the focal point. When Jesus came to redeem, to purchase, he is telling us what treasure is. He gave his life so that he might purchase men from every, and that includes women, from every tribe, tongue, race, and nation. It's the capital he operated in. And so here, when we think about fasting, and I'm going to show you this in a little bit from the book of Isaiah, part of our focal point here is thinking about, praying about, regarding our relationship with other people. So when we fast, we focus on reaching up. And when we fast, we focus on reaching out. And think about that. Because the very nature of fasting is to give something up. Now, I didn't fast this morning. It's not what I'm going to call it, because it's not, but I didn't eat breakfast. So as I'm standing up here, you know, every once in a while it'll go away, but right now I'm hungry. And so this is what I do with this if I fast and whenever I fast, is that that hunger pain says I'm giving something up here. I'm sacrificing something. Hey, guess what? It's not all about you. And if you're going to have the appropriate perspective about God and the appropriate perspective about others, you need to feel some hunger. You need to push down your own desires for the sake of other people and for the sake of God. And that's part of what it means to follow him. That's all of what it means to follow him. To be like Christ, who considered others more important than himself and was obedient to the point of death on a cross. His sacrifice led to the shedding of his blood. I haven't shed blood yet as a reflection of my sacrifice to Christ. And so the hunger pangs that you may feel when you fast remind you of this very appropriate and non-negotiable posture of humility and sacrifice. The last category would be reaching in. And I want to use the last section here as our picture for that. He says then in verse 22, the eye of the lamp is the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I've called this cultivating the proper perspective. And so when I grow in faith and obedience, fasting is a help for that. It helps me to have the proper perspective. And if I've sought the glory and the word of God, and I've sought the well-being of those people around me, those two practices in and of itself begin to help clear my eyes. Because the log that's in my eye that's keeping me from helping others or seeing is the log of self-absorption. And fasting again follows on this. It says, I'm giving this up. I want to see clearly, Lord. Give me a clear perspective. Give me a clear perspective. In the ancient times, they believed that the eye was not only something that took in light, but was something that actually gave light. So there's this reciprocal picture in the ancient mind of the eye. I take light in, and I'm someone who gives light. I'm someone who gives light. So not only do I shine light on my path, but when I walk in that path, I shine light for other people. And so when I grow in faith and obedience, when I become more like him, I begin to have a clearer perspective and a better understanding of how everything works. Fasting is this marvelous tool that can help us do all of this. So here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to do something this week. You've been given this blue card, and the reference on top is Isaiah 58, the title, Fasting. In Isaiah 58, you have this marvelous picture of both a chastisement but an instruction to the people of God about the beauty, the necessity, and the benefits of fasting. And I've listed for you, I think there's 17 or 18 of these things that all come out of Isaiah 58. So I'm going to give you your passage of Scripture this week. And I'm going to encourage you that maybe today will be the beginning of a lifetime new practice. Maybe you've never practiced fasting before. You've just never done it. You don't understand it. It just hasn't come across your radar. You've heard about it, but you just never have done it. So I want everybody to pick a meal right now. Just pick a meal. Which meal are you going to do this at this week? So pick a meal. Write it down at the top or something. I'm going to skip a meal. Intentionally skip a meal. I'm going to take that half hour, 45 minutes, hour, whatever it is that I take, and I'm going to, number one, read Isaiah 58. It's a difficult passage, but there's some marvelous imagery there that I think will be helpful for you. And since it's maybe your first time fasting or it's first time in a long time fasting, this will be a good passage because it's going to talk about the activity that you're going to do. And in Isaiah 58, you're going to find these different benefits for fasting. It's to seek God. That we want to seek God when we fast. And we want to see him and be exposed to him. So the prayer here and the emphasis here, or the purpose of fasting, would be to seek him. Would be to ask for justice. Maybe there's some situation in your life that you're concerned about, that you're worried about. There's some world event The Middle East is amok these days. There's a local event. We have so many local events that are a burden or a challenge or a concern and are in need of justice. Everything from immigration to healthcare to just the state of our nation. Go before God and plea for justice. Ask Him for justice. But don't just ask for justice in some preconceived notion that you have, but ask for His mind. I'm seeking Him. I want to know what you think justice is in this scenario or in this context. I want to understand what you're saying to me, not what CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or whoever else is saying to me. I want to understand your idea. I want to understand what you mean by justice. And I want to see justice in light of loving other people and having compassion and mercy for other people, because you call me to love you and to love my neighbor. What does that look like in terms of restoring the image of God to man? What does that look like in terms of our mission to go make disciples of all nations? So when you start praying these things and you start asking God for this full-orbed understanding, fasting is to help us to delight in God's nearness to us, that He is nearby, and you want to take delight in that. So your fasting time might be a time of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. God, you're a God who's near. You might just want to spend an hour rejoicing that He saved you from sin. And just recalling your movement from darkness into light. You might just want to spend the whole time praising Him for that, and that He's drawn near to you so that you can draw near to Him. Fasting is to help us suppress out of control desire. And I skipped nurture humility. We've talked a little bit about that. But to suppress out of control desire, where are you running amok in your life? Where is your mind out of control? Where is your behavior out of control? Where is your anger out of control? Where is your lust out of control? What area of your life is out of control? Maybe no one else knows it but you and God. And maybe your time of fasting needs to be addressing that. Lord, I'm angry. I'm angry all the time. Lord, I'm full of lust. I can't help myself. I want to consume. I want. Help me with that. To loosen the bonds of wickedness and discover freedom. I already skipped another one. Nurture brotherly love. Who are you at odds with? Who has been distant from you for a long time and you miss them? And maybe it's because of something you did or something they did. Share resources with the needy. This would be a good activity of fasting. I'm not going to eat this week at lunch. I usually go to a restaurant and buy lunch. Instead of going to a restaurant and buying lunch, I'm going to spend 15 minutes asking God to show me someone to give a meal to. I'm going to go buy that meal, and I'm going to find someone to give it to. And that could be your time of fasting. That gives a cultivation to share with other people, to remind ourselves that we are flesh. To find light, recovery, righteousness, to call on Yahweh, to lift gloom. Are you depressed? Are you hopeless? Are you in despair? To find your way, do you need guidance? Are you confused about a decision, a life direction? To find satisfaction and fulfillment, are you dissatisfied with your marriage, with your job, with your lot in life? To gain strength. To flourish in God's blessing as a well-watered garden, and finally, to fulfill our mission. Now, you can see how you could do 18 separate fasts for each and every one of those things. Fasting is something that helps me connect heaven to earth. It's something that helps me to recognize my state as a child of God, dependent upon Him for everything. So in your fasting this week, reach up to God. Reach out to other people. And reach in introspection, seeking to become more like Christ in all that you do. And begin to incorporate this into your life on a regular basis. You're going to say, you know what, this is a great time for me just to have an official time of prayer. And you know what? It's free time. When you sit here and ask yourself, I don't have time to pray, but you manage to eat three times a day. And as I'm looking around this room, probably every single one of us could skip a meal and not really miss it. So I've just found an hour for you every week to pray, an hour you didn't think you had before. What a blessing that is. You can high-five me on your way out. All right? But that's an awesome thing to think about. I do have a time to offer to the Lord. And it's a time of sacrifice. And I have three options every day. So did you pick a time? I gave you your passage, and then let God determine what you take out of that passage in terms of his heart for you. And it could be in any one of those categories. And then spend some time praying and coming out of that fasting time with an action plan. What am I going to do? What am I going to do differently now that God has pricked my spirit with regard to my relationship with my brother or my sister that I need to repair? What am I going to do? Okay, so three things you're going to do. You've already picked the day. You're going to read Isaiah 58. You're going to let God speak to you and meditate and contemplate over that area, one of those 18, and then you're going to make an action plan. What am I going to do differently than I've been doing up until now? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for being available to us. And help us, Lord, as we approach you this week in prayer and fasting, that we would approach you with humility and a great desire. Help us, Lord, to cultivate a desire for God's word this week as we reach up to you. Help us to cultivate a love and mercy for other people, putting aside hatred. And help us, Lord, also to cultivate a proper perspective, to see the world and to see life, ourselves and others around us, through your eyes. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.